All right, we'll go ahead and start with prayer.
Sure. Let us pray. Almighty God and Holy Father in heaven, hallowed be your precious name. Thank you for this opportunity for us to come together and study your word, try to improve our knowledge of the things you've left us. Father, we pray that we would have an open heart and open mind and try to learn more about what your will for us is today, so that we may share that with others and be firm in our own faith and expectations. Forgive us for our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right. So real quick, summary of last time. We discussed what we wanted to cover, and then we discussed why we're studying it. We talked a little bit about categories of money, and then we spent most of the time on 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. The conclusions that were drawn by the majority were that it was for a singular purpose. Included it was the congregation giving, not individuals. Concluded that it was on Sundays, and concluded it was a common fund. I can't read my handwriting for the last thing I said. Oh, I know what that is. I already said that. Okay, and conclude as a common fund. The things we said that we were going to do this time was Stan was going to bring what he brought up about Mike Willis, which I assume is the handout we're about to look at. And then we were going to start off looking at Luke to find what he was doing with Luke and Acts, which is basically telling history. And then we were going to look at the examples of Acts and just talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And then other scriptures that y'all were bringing do the same thing and look at the patterns and such. So with that, over to Stan.
Okay, well, just then, very quickly, the primary argument that Mike is using is found on the first two paragraphs of the page. There are some other good things at the final paragraph that I added. I just typed it in from the commentary. Jim, I've got
another one up here.
And I just want to make note of a couple of things. First of all, the question surrounds that phrase in number verse 2 on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. And there are some arguments that are raised with regard to the where the laying up of each one is done, and that it's possibly a reference to laying up at home. And so there are three arguments that Mike uses. The two are ones that we're familiar with. Number one would be context. And that is that it is stated to be done on the first day of the week. As we look at the purpose of the first day of the week, as it's found in Scripture, is for worship when they come together. And not again, this isn't touching the idea as whether it has to be done when you come together in the sense of in the assembly. But the idea is that as they're coming together for the purpose of worshiping God, then the contribution given at that time would have obviously be one that was done collectively. So that's the first thing, the idea of the context. There are three arguments made, and the second one I may come to in a minute. The second one is the one that's, I think, fairly interesting that's found here in this paragraph. And it basically comes with the word collection and what the word collection means. And one thing to keep in mind is that a long time ago, I don't know exactly what the timeline here is, but when we looked at the Greek language, there wasn't a recognition that the language of the New Testament was different than the classical Greek. And it wasn't until there were more excavations and more papyri and such were uncovered where it became obvious that the Greek that the book is written in, the New Testament is written in, is called Koine Greek or Koine Greek. K-O-I-N-E, and it means a common Greek rather than classical Greek. But that's something that they have found out. And what you find when you go into the New Testament is there was a long list of words that were difficult to define simply because the classic Greek definitions or the terms weren't found in the classic Greek, and so it was difficult to ascertain exactly what the meaning was. But as more time has passed and more things have been uncovered, examples, papyri, fragments of the language that was commonly used in that day for commerce and other things, Well, then there was an ability to say, okay, well, that's what that word meant, and that's what that word meant. So initially, a long time ago, the idea was that the word logeia, which is the word collection in 1 Corinthians 16, was thought to be derived from lego, which means I say. But after they have undercovered more and they know more about the form Greek, the word is in fact from the root or from the verb I collect, not I say, but I collect. And you'll notice that Adolf Diesman, who did a lot of this work as far as uncovering the papyri and dealing with this particular issue, in the middle of that paragraph, it establishes the kind of the truth that we're talking about. We find it used chiefly of religious collections for a god, a temple, just as Paul uses it of his collection of money for the saints of Jerusalem. So Paul's usage conforms to the usage of the word among his contemporaries. In other words, and this is how you define what words mean. You go to the original language as it was used at that time to determine what the meaning was then. And we find that if you do that with regard to this particular word, then there are, just looking at the second paragraph, the usage of the word has a direct bearing on whether Paul is giving a charge for a formal collection at the services or is instructing his brethren to put aside a little money each week in a jar at home, because the word collection that is used there has reference to a formal collection that is gathered for a particular purpose, whether it's for a god or a collection made at a temple or that kind of thing. And so the usage of the term would indicate that that it's referring to the collection in a formal sense, that the laying aside is preparing to take something on the first day of the week for it to be included in a formal collection. And I want you to notice in the bottom of that second paragraph where the references, scripture references are, is that other passages imply common treasuries in the local congregations, and you can go to those particular passages and look at that. And so that point being made is that there seems to be a clear indication from 1 Corinthians 16, and perhaps to a lesser extent in these other passages, that this was a formal collection that was under consideration. And so the collection would be something that they would... as if, for example, when we talk about in Acts chapter 5, when they laid their funds, the proceeds from the things that they sold, at the feet of the apostles, that this was something that was done as a part of a local treasury rather than something that they did by themselves at home. So that's the argument that I was referring to that he made. And there actually is a number of good things that Mike says in his commentary to deal with this particular issue and the further part of it that I would encourage you to take time to read. I think we've got his commentary on 1 Corinthians in the library if anyone's interested. So that's that.
Any comments, questions, things about that? You have one hand too?
Yeah. About to get 15, so we got enough for everybody.
That's interesting. You know, our point Aaron brought up last week was that none of us here are Greek scholars. And so, you know, it is tempting sometimes to open up Stronger Thayer and be like, that's the Bible. That's somebody explaining the Greek of the Bible to me. And then here's this where they go, well, actually, Thayer got it wrong. And here's what the new thing is. And it's like, oh, no. What else did Thayer get wrong? He's there all the time. But he obviously got a ton right. But
I'm not sure if Thayer's the reference there to Thayer is to him saying it was derived from Lego, I say, or whether it's to one of a long list of words that are distinctive to the New Testament. I'd have to look into that further, but you're right, there's a chance.
Thayer definitely tied it back to the Logos as the root, the speaking. Alright, good deal. All right, I mentioned that I was going to read the beginning of Luke and Acts, but then I went, man, we don't have a whole lot of time. So does anyone want me to read the beginning of Luke and Acts? Because my only point I was going to make was that Luke was talking to Theophilus, and he was just telling him stuff that happened. That was the only point I was going to make from reading these two passages, was that he wasn't trying to tell Theophilus what to do. He was writing books of history. want to read that before we just move on into the actual passage that's relevant on your question.
I'm willing to stipulate to that because that's what it says.
All right. So what we talked about last time, I thought it might be good to get a whiteboard out just so we can write down our thoughts and make sure that we're all staying straight with one another. And, you know, nice thing about writing it down is somebody can go, that's not what I meant. We could correct it on the fly. Was that we were going to look at different passages. Now, in between last week and this week, somebody brought up something that I'll bring up in a moment about one of these that I hadn't thought about before, and that's part of the point of this, is for us to make sure that we are all fully thinking about things. Start off there in Acts 2. Would somebody read Acts 2, 44 through 47?
Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
All right. So who's the who in here? Who are we talking about?
The believing Jews.
The believing Jews?
Christians?
Well, yeah.
How specific you want to get on it?
Well,
the Jews that were preached to.
I don't know that they were all Jews.
Is you have become Christians?
I think the real point here is that he's talking to Christians.
Yeah.
So he's talking to Christians at this point. Or talking about Christians, not to Christians, about Christians. He's talking to Theophilus. And then the what? What's going on?
Sold and divided possessions.
Sold stuff. Divided. As folks had need. Now, the question that somebody brought, or the thing somebody brought up to me since last week that I hadn't thought about before, was, is this an example of what we talk about today being the collection? So I'll give you a balancing point, right? We talk about the breaking of bread and when you come together to break bread and different things like that. But then we point to different passages that talk about breaking bread, and we say that that's just they ate. They were having the Lord's Supper, right? And so it's the exact same two words in Greek, break bread, but in some places it's talking about the Lord's Supper, and in some places it's talking about just a meal. So the question here, obviously there's money involved, obviously they were gathering money, obviously they were dividing up money, but is this an example that we can use to follow as far as our collection goes?
So they got rid of stuff that they didn't need, or sold stuff off they didn't need, or everything, all their possessions.
It doesn't say all in this case.
And the context centered in the fact that many of those who believed had come to Jerusalem for the purpose of attending that feast, and they stayed there. And so they were without. In other words, they were dependent upon others to help them because their resources had run out and they were away from home. So
they weren't in their own homes. They weren't in their own villages.
Right. And so there were needs there in the beginning that because of the love that brethren had for one another, that others were selling things and giving as it was needed. Which basically is used in Acts 5 too, is I think. I'm not sure if it's the exact thing, but it seems like it could be. When the specific reference was being that they laid their goods at the feet of the apostles,
right.
that may have been the process that was used here, but I don't know if you can say that for certain.
I didn't quite get an answer to my question, but I'll move on.
Well,
unless someone wants to answer.
I think that's important, though.
I personally, the way I read, when it comes down here, says continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. This is talking about just their daily living, not coming together on Sunday. I don't see them describing services on Sunday, for lack of a better term.
So then you're saying this sounds like they were selling stuff and giving to people as they need, or giving food or whatever in the world on a day-to-day basis. And that wasn't, what's the word? A corporate event?
Collective action.
Collective action, that's what's looking for.
Well, what I wonder, and one thing I've wondered is in this passage, so when we're talking about the local church, obviously they were added to the universal church, but had the local church here been, I mean, they're Christians there. What's the time frame as far as from when they're baptized into Christ, and then it says they believed together and had all things in common? But as far as that the local church organization, does that make sense? Had that been established yet? I don't know. Is that one of those things?
All we can have is the linear progression of the Acts account, the historical account. So we have, for example, in Acts 14, there is a statement that is made concerning Paul going, is it Paul Martin? It was Paul and Silas going everywhere, appointing elders in every church. Right. So there was at some point in time this revelation that the elders need to be there. As to when it started that these elders were being appointed, as far as I know, Acts 14 is the first time there's a mention of it. Right. In Jerusalem, in the beginning, it was obvious from Acts 5 and with also Acts 6 in those areas where they were. The apostles were making decisions with regard to the church. The early leadership in the beginning, it was the apostles at Jerusalem. But then, of course, in Acts 8, they went everywhere spreading the word, and other churches were established. And that's why Paul was going on establishing the churches and appointing the elders and those kinds of things. So as far as that goes, I don't know that we can determine it. I do think that there's one thing that's obvious from as far as the when, the what, the when.
I guess I'm in a...
Well, is the fact that what is found here, as you relay it to Acts 5, is that it was voluntary rather than something that was commanded as in chapter 16. So that would be a distinction that I would make. Maybe that's in the how. Voluntary instead of required. So you must do in 1 Corinthians 16, but he told... Peter told Ananias and Sapphira that you didn't have to sell
it. Yours.
And when you did, you could have kept the money. Their sin was not in not participating, the sin was in the language of the Holy Spirit.
Touch on something that I don't think necessarily is good to talk about yet while we're establishing this, but a good question to answer is, what does it take to establish a congregation? Because we definitely have talked about that in the past when it comes to people moving around with the military or nursing homes or different things like that. We touched on the win a little bit, the daily. Anybody have any other thoughts on the wind? Where?
Jerusalem.
So Jerusalem, for sure.
Yeah.
I keep posing this thing. A distinction I want to make while we're going along is the idea of local and remote, right? The deal with Corinthians was remote. This, by all evidence, was local. They were gathering things locally, they were giving money locally. So, I'll say from local, individuals. And two local individuals. In chapter 4 that we'll look at in a second, he talks about laying it at the apostles' feet.
I wouldn't say two locals, though, because the reason they were collecting funds is because they weren't locals, right? They traveled to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost?
He was saying well, the number two.
Oh, okay.
He's talking about Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, okay.
The local I'm making here is two people that were there.
Okay.
They're not sending it overseas or something like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
And I'm sure some of these people just stayed in Jerusalem forever, and some of them went back home. But like Stan was saying, they're from all over the place, right? They're from Greece. We know one guy was from Ethiopia because Philip had to go run him down later. All right, and then the why. The why is kind of obvious, but we touched on it a little bit. People were displaced, and people had need. People being displaced is inferred, but people having need is stated in the text. Anything else anyone wants to say on Acts 2?
They were brethren, hip and brethren.
Brethren, that is a good point.
And you're right to indicate the idea of something that is inferred, because I think we can say it's necessarily inferred, the displaced. At least some of them were displaced, but not all of them necessarily.
Well, and maybe not all the ones that are in need were displaced people. There could have been just people that lived in Jerusalem.
Sure. Makes sense.
And so we've got here... not church collection. I'm going to throw a question mark on that one for right now. But that was what was posited, that this isn't a church collection. Acts 4, will someone read Acts 4, 32 through 37?
Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any one among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as any one had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
All right, who? Christians again. I'm going to give you that one. Did what? Now, this is interesting because it's very, very similar. But in this case, it says, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales. And that word all there. We can trust there. No, we can trust there. He says as many as or as great as. So that sounds like all to me. Seems a little confusing that absolutely everyone would sell their house and their property. I don't know how that played out with them. But it's also a little confusing when we get into Acts 5 when Peter says, you have to do that. So, how do we balance that? I was actually going to ask Aaron, because I think he had an answer for that, but Aaron's not here today. Oh, yeah. It's old stuff, yes, but specifically here, it says land and houses. What did they do with it?
Laid it at the apostles' feet.
Laid it at the apostles' feet.
And distributed as needed.
Who distributed? The apostles?
It just says in they.
I don't think they first verse of apostles.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
The them and the they in that sentence, the context is the them and the they being the brethren that bought and sold. But
the them and the they in 35? The them and the they is the money.
Where? Well, the they in 35. I mean, again, the laws of the, you know,
well, English grammar. This one. the rule that you typically follow, which is, and we actually make, or it has an argument has been made from Acts 1 based on that, is the who are the ones that were in the upper room, and then who ends up receiving the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the antecedent to the pronoun, in other words, that to which the pronoun refers, is typically the nearest noun. So if you have that, when you say, okay, you have houses sold,
it'll be the
them, so them is the houses and lands, and laid them, houses and lands, at the apostles' feet, and they, with the antecedent to the they there would most probably be the apostles.
Can you read the rest of
it? See, it's been too long since...
They distributed to each as he had need.
Class to know what the technical
and so
rule
that's
for that
a,
is.
That's a spot in the Greek where
thought about that one.
It's not super clear because there is no them or they.
Yeah, mine says anyone had need.
Oh, well, and mine says they were distributed. So the people weren't distributed, the money was distributed. So the point is, it doesn't matter. We don't know who specifically did it, but the money was distributed to everyone as they had need. So... and then the last thing we said was distributed. All right, when?
Doesn't say except as they had need.
Yeah, it
doesn't say
doesn't
when.
Doesn't say. Home. Where? We're still in Jerusalem. This is a little different. This is from... local individuals to either the apostles or the church, depending on how you look at it. Any thoughts on that? Either way you cut it, it's from local individuals to a local group instead of potentially two local individuals. It could have been that this was done the same way. Just putting one thing in it, you all divide it up. It doesn't say. And then why? Same thing. What do you... And then how... voluntary, and we already said the soul and all that.
So, what did the people that sold their possessions, their land, and houses do after that?
Next week, they had me.
Well, that's just it. They didn't want anyone to have need. That was the point, and so it was distributed to benefit all. And I think that's one of the things that's brought up in Acts 4 and 5 is that when Ananias and Sapphira sold what they had, that they could have, they didn't have to give any of it if they didn't want to, and if they did give some, they could have kept some back and there could have been a legitimate need for them. The problem was that they lied and said they'd given all when they hadn't. So that was what the sin was. But the whole idea is we see someone who's in want, we're going to sacrifice ourselves just like those in Macedonia did to the Judean saints and others, and what we're going to do is just do our very best to give of ourselves to others. But everyone was making sure that everyone had what was needed. So I would imagine that there was in that common fund, there was a lessening of what we had and an increase of what others had, to where there was maybe not exactly the same, but a commonality there. So I would say they lost value as a result of it. How much, I don't know. Justin Rick has his hand up.
At some point, somebody had to get a job. It's Matt.
Second Corinthians mentions that when they were giving, the point was not that the Corinthians would be burdened, so that the recipients would have this blessing, but that when they had need, their abundance would supply their lack. If that makes sense. I'm not wording it properly, but the abundance that the people had in Corinth was to supply the lack in Jerusalem, so that later on, should Corinth ever have need, the abundance of Jerusalem could provide for the lack of Corinth.
So could we say that there's nothing in the context that necessitates that all of the money from the sale of the houses and possessions were put into the pot?
Or that they sold
all
their
houses.
Of their land.
Or that they sold all their houses. That's what I read. I read houses, plural.
They sold their vacation home as well.
Right, exactly.
And another common argument in this passage is that the idea of as needed, as each had need, covers the entire passage. So you didn't sell your house if there was no need. As there was need, more funds were raised so that the needs could be met. I've not studied that to know if I agree with that or not. That is something I've heard. Do we want to read Acts 5? Maybe I'll summarize Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira sold some property, and they kept back of it, and they gave the rest of it to the apostles. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why are you lying? While it was unsold, it was yours. After it was sold, the money was yours. Why have you decided to lie?" And he was struck dead. His wife came in later. Peter asked, "Did you sell it for this much?" And she said, "Yes." And it was the lie again. He also said they sold it for the amount they gave to the apostles, but really they sold it for more. And she was also struck dead. And the real driver for what we're talking about here is that it was voluntary. It's driving that how there. The question we haven't circled back to is this an example of church collection? We had it posited that Acts 2 was not an example of church collection. Are we positing the same thing here? You have one of those papers back to Dennis?
So I have one question.
Something we covered earlier.
First paragraph.
How can we have a universal church without a local church? Does it not constitute the necessity of a local group just right off the bat as inferred?
I don't think so. Not mathematically.
They were still a group of Christians in a local area. Is that not the called out?
They were
universal as well.
Right. I think it goes back to what I mentioned before that we definitely need to talk about, is what does it mean for a church to be established? So, growing up in Fayetteville, I would go down to the nursing home to people that couldn't leave the nursing home and come to the regular assembly, and we would have an assembly there. Was that a church or not? There are 100% people here at Westside that believe it is, and 100% people here at Westside that believe it wasn't. And so getting to that answer of what does it even mean for a church to be established ends up answering this question about whether this was a local church at this time. Well, even if you know that, even if we could just say it definitely was a local church, that doesn't necessarily also conclude that this was a church action and not individual's actions?
Well, I would say those are definitely individual actions, but I find it hard to believe that after Acts chapter 2, there wasn't a local congregation in Jerusalem. The church universal and the church in Jerusalem were established on the same day. Now, they didn't have a building. They didn't have a bank account. But the church is made up of those who are saved. And they were saved in Acts 2, after Acts 2:38.
And at least by this point, there was a treasure.
Yes.
At least by Acts 4, there was a treasure.
But I still think that was probably not a church function.
But it was still daily, individual. Daily folks taking right. care of each other.
So, question. We all recognize it wasn't a group effort we as a group have to do this for these people. I think that's what we're saying when it wasn't a local effort, right? Whereas 1 Corinthians 16, they as a church were sending a gift to Jerusalem as a unit.
All
of that offering would have been attributed to the entire brethren at Corinth as a collective.
Right. So if we just write 1 Corinthians 16 down here, we're saying from the local church to a remote church. That's what's happening in 1 Corinthians 16. We'll fill in the rest later. But last time, that's what we said. We said that it was a group collection, and that obviously it was going down to the church in Judea. So the question here is, all right, here's individuals. Individuals could have just given to other individuals. Individuals definitely laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed from there. It does use the word divided here, so that sure sounds like it was all put in one big pot. But maybe not. Maybe just each individual divided their own. But then, was it a function of just folks taking care of each other? Or was it a function of the church taking care of folks? And I think by the time you get to Acts 8, do I not have Acts 8 on this? Acts 6. Why do I not have Acts 6 on the list? Well, that's why. 6. By the time you get to Acts 6, maybe it's different. So who would like to read Acts 6? What is it? 1 through 3? I'm not positive. It may be more than that. At least 1 through 3.
I'll read it. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. I don't think we need the old names. Yeah, they were.
Italian cheese.
Go ahead and read.
Keep going. Okay.
Go ahead and read verse 6. All right, sorry. One more verse.
Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Okay. And, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what are we talking about here? We're not talking about the collection here. I was trying to figure out why didn't I have it on the list. The reason I didn't have it on the list is because it's not talking about the collection. It's talking about the separating the money.
Don't bother. Let's go figure it out.
But the reason that it's good to bring up is because Now we're talking about, very obviously, this is talking about money from the local congregation, the local church, to local individuals. So, someone can say if they think otherwise. But I see no reason to think that the money we're talking about in Act 6 being distributed, or the food or whatever being distributed that was bought with money, is any different than coming from Acts 4 and 5, where they were gathering the money. So they're gathering money, people are selling houses, people are getting things as they need. You get down to Acts 6, and someone says, hey, people aren't getting things as they need. That's what we said this money was for. As people have need, here are some people that are being neglected. So, anyhow, that's why I didn't have it in there, because it was a collection. I didn't really intend to fill out that entire row on that one, unless someone wants to.
So, Justin,
mm-hmm.
What's your point on Act 6, that it was out of the collection or it was not? I didn't understand.
It was.
Okay. And I didn't understand what you're saying.
Well, so the point is, this is establishing a treasury. Whether it's, I said I wasn't going to draw a Venn diagram. Whether it's the treasury of a bunch of folks that are gathering money to help each other, or whether it's the treasury of the Lord's body, is the question, right? The 100% was a treasury, definitionally. But which of those was it? And what was said before was, because it was daily, and it's not described in a way that we think of as the collection, that it's not the collection of the Lord's body's collection. It is a collection of a bunch of dudes. So, as we said last time, what can a bunch of dudes do with their money? I don't know. Like me and Stan can go buy a boat if we want, right? Or we can gather our money and help feed poor people. Or, you know, whatever. One time Dorothy needed money for prescriptions, and like two or three of us just gathered some money and gave her some money, right? And that didn't come out of the treasury. It wasn't part of the church collection. It was some dudes gathering money for a needy son. So that's the question. I don't know that we have an answer yet, but the point with Act 6 is that this is further evidence that there was a collective pot of money, food, property, whatever it was, that was being disseminated to people.
But was it from the church? Was it the church?
That's a good
point. See, I don't know.
Was it the church treasury? That's what I'm getting at.
Yep.
Didn't you say they're laying it at the feet of the apostles to distribute?
Well, up until this point, so like the distribution was being done from the apostles, and now they're making deacons.
They're kind of itinerant preachers. They're not like bound to one congregation necessarily, because they're apostles, right?
True.
So wouldn't that?
But they were all still there.
I understand that, but like,
but the deacons would be.
They didn't give it to like. I'm just saying, like it just. Like this whole situation seems like they're just like this like mob of like people like becoming Christians, and they're kind of like ramping up here, and they're like, okay, we got all this stuff going on, so we got to take care of these people that have all come from everywhere, and I don't know. Sound
like thousands of them.
Right.
It's like Jesus was feeding on his followers.
Like
thousands of people following him, and they fed him. Kind of the same thing.
Right.
Okay, so valid point. I should have a question mark there. Because that's the exact same question mark we have up here. Right? So far we have a question mark thread through F. We need to tie that loose end up at some point.
Yes. That would be useful.
But one more example in Acts, and if somebody else has another example after that, please bring it up. But can somebody read Acts 11, 27 through 30?
And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. The disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
Okay. So this, I believe, is the first time we have the elders mentioned. It's Acts 11. And...
yeah, you're right. I'm sorry about that.
And so, that's interesting. Now it's not at the apostles' feet, now it's to the elders. But let's go ahead and start left to right. We get a little more specific than Christians now, because all the Christians were in one place back here. Now we've got Christians in different places. So who are we talking about here?
Christians in Antioch.
So,
well, that's where.
This is our from Christians in Antioch. Yeah, it starts emerging, right?
Yeah.
Some of our women. From Christians in Antioch to
the elders in Jerusalem.
Elders in Jerusalem. Did you say Jerusalem?
Yeah.
No.
Judea. Also interesting, they start saying Judea instead of Jerusalem.
Well, it's to the brethren.
The brethren in Judea.
Brethren by the elders. I mean, the elders got it, but I don't know if that's a...
Well, they sent it to the elders.
Yeah.
But the relief is to the brethren, but the elders are the ones that designated it.
All right. My who's and what's are going to do a little merge, but yes. So,
the brethren were the object of the relief. The elders were the ones that were given the money to disseminate.
So two brothers via elders.
That's commonly how we practice that today.
All right, what's the what?
Is it relief?
That each according to his ability determined to send relief.
Sends contribution or relief. The how according to ability.
And why is it keep the famine?
There's going to be a famine all over the world. Why send money to Judea? There's going to be a famine all over the world. Why send money to stuff all over the place?
Justin, under what? It appears that this is a special collection.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It was for a specific purpose. If they did and probably did have a treasury, it wasn't taken from the treasury. It was a special collection by individuals to send to Judea.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
So they gave it to Paul and Barnabas to take to the elders. Is that what you're calling the collection?
No.
Paul and Barnabas collected it?
No. At Antioch, when they heard the news, then individuals, they specifically got money amongst themselves for this purpose. It wasn't taken from the church's treasury.
It wasn't the church sending it. It was the individuals of the church. So
right.
I think that's the distinction.
So I think another thing that might be helpful is in the how to keep in mind that it follows the same pattern as the previous ones and that each man determined himself.
Right.
So it was a voluntary thing.
I don't think the distinction as to whether it was from the church or individuals is important. But what the point I was making was this particular amount of money was raised for the express purpose of this need for this help. It was from the church in Antioch, but the money that was raised, it was a special collection for that specific purpose.
Thank you. always thought it was, I'm just standing up when I'm just talking. So, I mean, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and they said, all right, we're gonna send contribution, or send relief, and we're going to send it by Barnabas and Paul, presumably because Barnabas and Paul were already there. But what does... Because we're getting into the same question there with that phrase, each of them. What is it in the other translations?
I think the phrase, each according to his ability, makes it clear that this money was earmarked. It was for us this specific purpose. I'm not saying it has to be an individual action. It can still be the church doing it. It's just that the church decided to do it, send money specifically, and everyone at that, while Agabus was there, brought together whatever money they had to be sent with Paul and them to go to Jerusalem.
I was going to read the American Standard Version. I don't know if this might help. But, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hand of Paul, or by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So it kind of, it's pointing out that it's the disciples, every man according to his ability. So, and that they did that. I don't know if that means they did it as a group or if they did it as individuals, but it seems to me it could be, I can see it both ways, actually. But it is a special collection for a specific purpose.
I've always seen this as an individual collective effort, and one of the things
individual
is
collective effort. No one said that before.
Well, it was out of the Christians who were at Antioch, but it was Christians individually. Just like if we decide to send somebody money and I say, hey, that's not enough, I want to give an extra hundred, then that extra hundred was the kind of relief they were sending here. I've never read that it was out of the church treasury. One thing that can come from that, if you say it's out of the church treasury, doesn't mean it's not, but one thing that would kind of leave open is having the ability to have special collections at church. I don't think we ever have any examples of that coming out of our worship services. I mean, you see that.
What do you mean?
Well, we passed a plate around, and then we go, oh, well, hey, you know, we got this local effort that we're trying to do, and we need more money. And so we pass the plate again, a special collection that all goes to some group. I don't think we have authority for that. And I've never thought that this was saying that. I've always thought it was a group of Christians who gathered up all their money. Josh got some, you got some, I got some. And we all sit here. And then Paul took it to the elders and it was distributed, as we see in other examples throughout the New Testament, by the elders at the local congregation.
From individuals, from local individuals to remote church.
Right. That's my 2 cents.
Sometimes you can find help in the interpretation by what words are not chosen. Like, it didn't say the church decided to send it. It said the disciples. Right. So I kind of can approach that it's individuals versus the congregation.
And one of the confusing things is that each of them, depending on if you're looking in King James or New King James or American Standard or ESV, based on where the translators put commas, is tied to different things. In some of the translations, it's tied to their means, each of their means, and in other translations, it's tied to their determination, each of them determined. And there's only one each of them, it can't be tied to both, right? And that does make it a little hard to understand. So go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, Young says that it's the disciples according as any one was prospering, determined each of them to send the ministration of the brethren dwelling in Judea.
Right.
It's just what I was looking at in the linear Greek.
Yeah.
And so, but Dennis, I thought you were saying that you thought otherwise. That you thought it was from a church to a church, not from individuals to a church.
Maybe I don't understand this. The hair splitting that's going on here. Not that I'm being critical. It's just that I don't understand. What I picture happening is Agabus comes and the elders of the church look at this and say, this is what we've got. And the brethren decide, this is not enough. We need to send more. And so the individuals then gave as they were able to send more. And when they got up all that they could at the time, then they sent it.
The split that's being made is whether or not it is a congregational activity because of the belief that some things the church is not allowed to spend its money on, and some things it is. And by determining which examples are groups of individuals spending money versus the body of Christ spending money, we can make that division. Now, I do understand that not everyone makes that division in their mind, and that people make that division at different points in their mind. Like some people will say that the body of Christ can buy a building. Other people will say it can't, but a group of individual Christians can. And it gets confusing. Because if this treasury here at the Apostles' Feet is not the same as the treasury we have now, but this treasury in 1 Corinthians 16 is the same as the treasury we have now, then we're talking about different categories of money, and some people definitely hold very strong beliefs about what is in each category of money, and very much would say, yes, and so does God. And so that's why it's cared so much about, because it's interesting because through all of us agree, you know, there is a definite limit to what the church can spend money on, right? The church can't all buy us tickets to Six Flags or something. Everyone agrees on that. It's when you're getting to right where the line is. And an interesting question with right where the line is how important is the line? That's why I like drawing the Venn diagram, but I still don't draw it. Really want to, but I still don't draw it. Because the important thing about the Venn diagram is that the bubbles are inside the other bubbles. There's never a point where the Bible says the church can send money to an evangelist, but an individual can't. It never says that. Anything that the more narrow can do, the broaders can do also. So the church can send money to a preacher in India. You and me can gather our money and send to a preacher in India. You just by yourself can get money and send it to the preacher in India. You're not limited in saying, no, that has to go through the church.
Let me ask you this question then as we make that distinction. 1 Timothy chapter 5 very clearly indicates that not everyone can be helped outside of the, or within, not everyone can be helped in an ongoing fashion from the treasury of the local church. Let not the church be charged with regard to those who are not widows indeed, right. Making a distinction between widows and indeed, is the same limitation observed or applicable in those actions in Acts 2, Acts 4, 6, and 11.
Meaning, is there a certain practical point where they just don't have enough money to feed everyone?
No, I'm saying, is there anyone that would be excluded in regard to that general principle of Christians helping Christians? If it's a voluntary individual thing as contrasted with a commanded collection, as in 1 Corinthians 16, that would be indicated from 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's what the church has. The money that the church has is not to be used in every example of benevolence.
Right.
But there doesn't seem to be the same limitation that is given in regard to the spirit of the giving that's found in Acts 2 and Acts 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like anybody is excluded in Acts 2 or Acts 4 or 5. Anybody who can need.
And 6, they were complaining that people were being excluded. But there's no mention in Acts 6 about the concept in Timothy of are they legit widows.
Right.
I think 1 Timothy also implies a, in connection with the daily distribution that we read about in Acts 11, how these widows were not to be busybodies and not to be these people that weren't trying to do what they were supposed to do. And if they had other ways of being supported, they needed to go to that route first. So it seems like it was a support of an ongoing nature, not a one-time need.
Yeah, and First Timothy 5 as well as Acts 6, yeah, both places, is ongoing. That's the daily serving of the tables were for the widows.
The key thing that I take from First Timothy 5 is that a specific exception is given.
Is it an exclusion or an inclusion?
Excluding... giving to widows versus widows indeed. The church is not to be burdened with a family's responsibility for their own widow. And that's the point that Paul was making. It's not that the church doesn't have authority to do that. They do. But he's saying, no, if it's your widow, you take care of her. Take her into your home and you take care of her. If there's no one to do that, then the church will do it. So the specific exception is given. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but there is also included in that not only the distinction with regard to women who are really widows, but also the age and the general attitude or demeanor of the widow, because the younger widows were to marry, and the disposition of the older women as to what kind of Christians and how faithful that they were in order for their inclusion.
Can I read a few verses so we know everybody knows what we're talking about exactly? Refresh our memory. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says honor the widow. In verse 3, it says honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And then verse 9, he says, do not let a widow under 60 be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she's brought up children, if she's lost strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work. Then verse 11 says, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they may desire to marry. And it goes on and talks about that. Anyway. So here it sounds like to me, I'm talking way too much tonight, but it sounds like to me that he's saying that if she's not under 60, she can't be on a permanent help from the congregation. And it says, don't do that for younger widows. So it does seem to place some limitations on who can receive ongoing funds from the congregation.
So We're out of time. An interesting question in that, getting back to the Venn diagram, is does that mean it's also inappropriate for an individual to do that? To support a 30-year-old widow. And
draw your diagram.
I've heard some. I drew two of them.
Next one.
So the so I've heard some people argue yes. I've heard other people say no, but it would be really foolish for the exact same reason that it would be bad for the congregation. Real quick, before we wrap up, something was said about special collections, and I wanted that to kind of be in the back of our brains for a while, because maybe people haven't thought about that before, and so you can go think about it. Has anyone ever been at a congregation where they did a special collection?
I think we've done it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where they did a special collection that was considered a church action?
No.
No.
For after services.
So I have. Okay. I've been to a church where they did their regular collection, and they actually had a sermon brought by a guy who had recently been wherever he had been, Philippines or something. It wasn't the Philippines, I forget where it was. I think it was Malaysian. But he was describing this thing and this need. And one of the elders got up and said, hey, we're going to gather up some money to send to them as the church. And they gathered up the money there in the middle of worship, specifically for that specific purpose. And it was sent off with this guy to take with other funds he was gathering to go back to Malaysia. So that is an interesting question. About whether that's an authorized thing. I didn't think about it at the time. I was like, I don't know, 13 or something. But it's an interesting thought.
I also had similar experience, except the special collection was for the roof. They needed a new roof. So they had the normal collection, and then at the end they said, this is specifically for our new roof. And they passed that around. I was quite uncomfortable with that. That's the purpose of the local treasury, is to support the local needs. So why take a second collection for the local needs?
I still don't think it's flushing.
It's kind of confusing.
All right. So next time we can continue on with this. That would be fine. We need to get into 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We haven't touched on those yet, and those talk a lot about the intercongregational activity between the Macedonians and the Corinthians and Jerusalem and all that. So definitely going to be looking at those two, maybe touch on this a little bit more, and we obviously still have our question we haven't answered, so we've got to get back to that.
Have more questions.
Marginally helpful. Right. 2 more sessions.
I hear skepticism.
Appreciate all y'all coming tonight, guys.